have a very special guest. And as a wife myself, I can assure you, we would not have had WCW if this lady had not allowed for it. You no doubt know her as Mrs. B. Please kindly welcome Mrs. Lori Bischoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm really excited to be here with you tonight. I'm looking forward to the discussion.
We are really excited too. So glad that you could make time for us this evening. And how about we jump right in with a question from the WMD himself?
Hello, Mrs. Bischoff. Hey, Laura.
Hi.
So I guess everybody's going to probably ask you about older stuff from Eric. So I guess I'm going to start. Did you have any good memories with the recent trip to Stamford? And were you expecting to be that, being that short? I think Eric wasn't expecting it.
Yes and no. Yes, I have actually a lot of really good memories, even though it was a short trip. And no, we didn't expect it to be quite that short. But all things work out as they're supposed to. So it ended up to be perfect timing. But we met some awesome people there, and we're pretty much able to make the best of wherever we are. So, you know what? It was really great to be somewhere that I had never been before, and Eric hadn't spent any, significant amount of time there. So to live there, even though it was only for 4 months, it was interesting. It was nice to get some variety, and it was nice to enjoy some new restaurants because they're a little thin here in Cody. And mostly, you meet great people wherever you go. So there were some really fun people that we met that I really enjoyed while we were there. So it was really brief, but really good.
Awesome. Thank you so much for answering my question. I hope you have a wonderful night.
Thank you. Thank you for asking. And same to you. Did we lose?
Did we lose Lauren?
Did we lose
She looks Lauren? Frozen.
Looks like I am. Can you guys hear me? Sorry, I think my internet glitched out.
You're back.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry. Edit that out, Evan. Thank you. Mrs. B, I have to ask, are you guys both foodies? Eric talks about food all the time on the podcast, and here you are mentioning restaurants.
Mm-hmm, 100%. Yeah. We love good food. We've had the luxury of being able to enjoy good food practically around the world, especially Eric. He's been a lot more places than I have, but we love to cook too. So we cook together and we kind of each have our specialties and some things we do together and some things like the grill stuff, all that. That's like Eric's ball game out there. I don't have anything to do with the rec tech or the big green egg. I just get to enjoy the fruits of his labor. And then I have my area and it all comes together. And yeah, food, it's food. It brings people together. It's what we do with our families when we're together. Who doesn't love that? So we are big foodies and we enjoy going out and trying new places and different kinds of food, all stuff that you wouldn't normally go out. We're not just like steak and potatoes people. Although potatoes is really good, but we like a big variety of stuff.
Excellent. Wonderful. Well, I would love to be a fly on your kitchen wall seeing some of the things you post on Instagram. Up next, we have a question from Mark Nelson.
Okay. So my first question is, and this is totally tongue in cheek, but I'm going to ask anyway, how has Blue Chew changed your life?
Don't answer that.
I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
It's okay. No. It's okay, Mark. By the way, Mark, come back on. Let me see that picture behind you.
Sure. This was back in like 2001. I met him. I worked at a radio station and I was like the stunt guy. So I did everything I could to get him annoyed for the radio show. And we gave him a lot of beer and he took that picture with me.
Well, so. Well done. Well done, Mark. That is a great picture. Actually, that's a really good picture. And I'm sure you didn't have to twist his arm too much about drinking the beer.
We had no issue with that. My real question, though, is this. When you ask Eric a question, does he ramble on and on for 20 minutes before he gives you an answer and then forgets what your original question was, making you forget the original question?
That's messed up. I understand why you would ask that question. Typically, it's a little bit of a reverse with us. I seem to be the one that is the rambler, and he is much more succinct in bullet points. So I don't know how he changes hats like that, which, you know, I'm gonna inquire now that you brought that to my attention. So clearly he's the one that's taking the train off the tracks when it's not a conversation with me. But when it's with me, I have a tendency to go all over the map before I get to the point.
Well, I just want to say thank you for sharing your husband. Thank you for doing this as well. This was totally unexpected and very awesome. And I will let somebody else talk. But thank you again. And I hope you have a great day.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for the good question. It was fun.
Thanks, Mark. I got Rajiv. Mrs. B, I'm going to be honest. Rajiv is the king of questions. He's probably going to have a good one for you.
All right. I'm ready, Rajiv.
Well, Lauren is always far too kind as when it comes to my questions. But I
tell
do
the truth.
Thanks, Lauren. Well, thank you for doing this, Lori. It means a lot to us top guys and my push members just to take time out of your day to do this with us. So we really, really appreciate it. So when I had a chance to have a one-on-one Zoom with Eric, I asked him about when he knew that you were the one. And he had brought up that you guys were at a bar called Houlihan's, and he was just looking at you and he thought to himself, it's never going to get better than this. So for you, what was the moment that you knew Eric was the one?
Yeah, same moment. I know exactly the moment he's talking about. And it was a bar in downtown Chicago called Houlihan's. And we were there having ourselves a wonderful time. I believe there might have even been a kamikaze involved. I actually don't recall exactly, but yes, there was a moment when we were just having the best time and we literally looked at each other and said, you know, let's spend the rest of our lives together. That sounds like a really good idea. And the rest is history for the most part. So we are definitely in alignment on that memory for sure.
Yeah, I always find that question to be interesting because a lot of times for the couple, it's different. So it's kind of cool that you two have the same memory and you're still smiling 30 something years later. So it must have been a good choice.
Yes, I would have to say it's been an excellent choice. And there's the one thing that is kind of funny about that is we also said, and let's never have any kids. So that kind of went a different way. Thank God, because we have two freaking amazing kids. So that would be the one thing that wasn't in the initial plan. But it's all unfolded better than I could have ever imagined.
That's great. All right. Thank you, Lori. And I hope you have a good rest of your night.
You too. Thank you, Rajiv.
Couple goals. Rajiv, funny story. When I got my one-on-one chat with Eric, I asked him the secret to a lasting marriage. And he did not say Blue Chew, everyone. Next up, we have a question from Luis.
Just unmuting here. So my question is, were you supportive of the fact of your son, Garrett, joining the TNA brand, or I think it was Impact at that time, and were you watching at the same time? That's my question.
Absolutely supportive. And yes, of course I was watching. Yeah, I was absolutely supportive because, you know, you as a parent, you want to be supportive of whatever it is your children, even adult children, are aspiring to do. And that was something that had been, obviously, he grew up with his father in that business. Most of his, you know, from the time he was, I don't know, seven or no, younger than yet, probably from the time he was four or five, he grew up with his dad being in that business. So, you know, that was the norm. And that was something that he watched every week. So for him to want to step into that world and experience it was certainly no surprise. And of course, you know, what would be any motivation to say, no, don't go there. So absolutely had to be supportive of him and let him, you know, see how it was going to unfold.
All right. Thank you for answering that. Appreciate
it. Of course. Thanks, Louise.
Thank you. Mick Mac wants to know, Mrs. B, do you serve orange with eggs?
What the hell?
Listen to 83 Weeks. You'll hear your husband really rant and rave about this. Apparently, it's a little controversial.
Okay. So, okay, Michael. I know who you are. I get this whole thing. So yes, Eric has, it's just a huge pet peeve. If we go out to breakfast, which doesn't happen too often, maybe a couple times a month, we'll go out for a Sunday brunch. And then, you know, they want to serve your food garnished with something to pretty it up, which usually means like parsley and an orange slice. And Eric just hates it when there's orange, like, you know, juice messing around with his huevos or his, you know, his whatever it is he's ordered. So he just doesn't get it. He gets very annoyed and he picks it up and he plops it into the middle of the table and proceeds with his meal. So Micmac, no, I do not serve any part of the orange on our breakfast platters when I make breakfast. However, I do have oranges every night in my salad, which he loves. So there you go.
Fun fact, wouldn't have guessed it. Oranges on the salad for Eric Bischoff, just not on the eggs. Okay. I was personally offended when he said, who takes up room in the refrigerator with parsley? And I'm like, I do. Doesn't everybody? Whatever. It's okay.
It does take up room in our fridge on occasion because parsley is very healthy for you. So I do have parsley on occasion that goes into the smoothies or goes into a salad or something, but he doesn't notice it.
Live with it, Eric. Up next, I got a question from Barat.
Okay.
Hello, Mrs. B. It's a very good morning from here in Adelaide. I'm in Australia. Up and early to ask you a question. So, of course, it's about hair. And we've heard like Eric talk on and on, rave about his hair all the time. In my household, there is a rule where the wife does not allow me to do that. So I just wanted to know how you cope with all this hair talk. And does Z actually have the best hair in your household?
Well, I don't know. I mean, what do you think? Does he have the best hair?
Not really. I'm with you there.
He does have really good hair, I must say. It's changed a lot over the years. It went from a lot of black straight hair to, you know, silver and short, and it's even got a little wave in it now. So there's been a big change in the whole, you know, hairstyle and texture thing going on there. He does have good hair. However, I don't know if you could say he has the best hair. And frankly, our dog Nikki has pretty awesome coat. Although there's a lot of it, and I find it in places I'd prefer not to around the house. So, you know, between the three of us, there's a lot of good hair going on here. I don't know who would win, though. I'm going to let you guys be the judge of that.
Thank you so much. I think it sounds like the Tony Schiavone household to me with all that dog hair around.
Right. And but by the way, your hair is beautiful, Barat. You look like you have a long, flowing mane.
Thank you so much. I'm glad the wife's out at work. So I'm happy to hear that when she's not around. Cheers. Thanks so much.
It. Yeah. Let me know what products you use. It looks really good.
I'll let you in on that. Don't worry. Cheers. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You guys are cracking me up. And you heard it here first. Eric's wife said he does not have the best hair. Ouch. It's okay. Top guy exclusive. No one will have to tell him. Josh Rosenbaum has a question, and I have a feeling you guys know each other pretty well. Am I wrong?
What do you think, Josh? Do we know each other pretty well?
Coach!
Yeah, I'm here. I'm going to pass tonight only because I guess people haven't had a chance to ask, and I always get a chance, but...
You're up. It's your turn. It's your turn. Come on.
Go for it, Josh.
She's a great lady, and listen to what she says. She's turning around my life. I'll let her, she's my life coach. I've been blessed to have her for a couple months, and I've lost a lot of weight. And she's written a great book called The Food Print Plan, and with that, I'm out.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you, Josh. That was very nice. Turning your life around, though, I maybe put up some guideposts, but you're doing all the work. You're doing the turning, my friend. So good work, and thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Congratulations, Coach. Up next is James Sorensen. Hi, James.
Hi, James.
Howdy. Sorry, I'm not on video. I'm on call. Bear with me. You there?
We're here. Glad to have you.
Sorry, I'm on call tonight, so I kind of have to make this quick. Okay. So last Wednesday, Eric said, like my shirt, I was running 83 weeks quarter zip, and I was dressing for success. Is there any particular cologne that Eric uses? Got to close the part, smell the part?
Well, that's an interesting question. Eric is not a regular cologne wearer. He does not, I don't think he's put cologne on. I can't remember the last time he put cologne on, to be honest with you. However, that being said, he does use some Aveda hair products that I love. They smell so, so good. And It's a different kind of scent than cologne. It's just, I can't explain it, but it's really, really good. So James, I don't know. Cologne can just either turn people really on or turn them really off. I mean, that's a really particular thing, but there's something about that scent of, that's a little bit more natural. Those organic Aveda products, really good. I love it when he has that in because I could smell it and I love it even better than cologne.
Thank you, and appreciate all the posts you post, and I know you like the sharing, but I appreciate all the stuff, your podcast and all the stuff you do.
Well, you're sweet. I appreciate all of your support because I recognize you're always there. You're always there following and sharing, and that means a lot to me. It does not go unnoticed, so thank you very much, James. Try the Aveda hair products. They smell delicious.
And we got two 25-year-old ladies with us.
Thank you, James.
Thanks, James.
Flattery will get you anywhere, James. Nice job on that. Andrew Ormond, it's your turn.
Hey, how are you?
Awesome, Andrew. How are you?
Good. I guess my question is, how has Eric changed prior to the wrestling business and then throughout the years in WCW and in even into the WWE, and then how has he changed since then?
Wow.
Personality-wise.
So let's see. How has he changed? Basically, you just asked me how Eric has changed throughout his almost entire adult life through his wrestling professional career. Yes.
Well, I mean, you know, based on your different work environments, you know, the high stress can make you act different. And I guess that's where this question kind of popped up from.
Okay. That helps a lot. That narrows it down a lot. So, you know what? Here's what has been an awesome evolution. And I think that this happens probably with a lot of people, but when you have a position that is very high pressure and a lot of stress, and there's a lot of people, a lot of moving pieces, a lot of people involved, a lot of people depending on you, a big team to manage. It's a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. And I think there was a big period of time, quite a few years, mainly with WCW, where that pressure was, you know, that was hard to manage. It was very stressful, but he did a pretty good job. And you know, I did my part to help as much as I could support him so that there wasn't any other undue stress or pressure, you know, from home, so that you'd come home and be able to collect yourself and, you know, be ready for the next day. That being said, again, like a lot of people, as Eric has gotten older, and as we all learn to sort of, hopefully, learn to manage our stress and manage our emotions, manage our reactions to things better, the things that used to be stressful or once would have stressed you now aren't so much of a stressful reaction, but instead it's more of a calm, measured response. So that doesn't put as much stress on a person. It's more like, here's the situation. How do I find the solution or the next best step? And that's just a matter of, I think, learning to master yourself and your emotions. And hopefully a lot of us do that as we age and get older and realize there's a better way to respond to things. So Eric's done that so well throughout his, you know, evolution as an individual going through different phases of life. So what once maybe stressed him out a lot, now the same situation absolutely would not. He would have a whole different approach.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I've been reading a lot about how to handle that stuff and dealing with people in a highly stressful environment, such as like and then learning emotional intelligence as well. I'm really taking a lot of courses during this downtime doing that. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. That was a really excellent question, Andrew. And I'm really excited for you that you're working on those things and taking the courses, because a lot of the stress that we feel and a lot of the angst and anxiety, a lot of it is self-imposed. We don't realize it because we have a patterned way of reacting to things, and the outside circumstances are what they are. But once you learn how to become a little bit more of a master of your emotions and you learn to think a little bit differently and apply a different meaning to those things, you will respond differently and you will be able to control the amount of stress or anxiety that you're feeling simply by how you choose to react. So it's a practice that I think is it's time well spent. So good for you to tackling it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Great question. Thank you.
Andrew, do I have a podcast for you? It's called We're Talking Shift with Lori Bischoff. Check it out. You're going to love it. Up next, we have a question from Carl Mandick.
There we go. Hey, Mrs. B, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it.
Sure.
And my question is actually about your podcast, and it's fun to kind of draw parallels, and I'm actually going to ask you the same question I asked Eric the first time we ever got to Zoom, and it is about evolution and change. In the early episodes, if you could touch on this and maybe whatever, I guess, mental diet, as you would call it, you're feeding Eric. I mean, he may be making some stuff on the rec tech, but I don't know what kind of mental diet you're giving him, but it's amazing because I've noticed, at least as a listener, and if you could speak to this, early on, there were times that Eric would, he and Conrad were feeling each other out. But then in the later episodes, if you really listen and digest it, you hear this introspective person saying that I've always tried to identify what I don't know. And he really, getting into his love of flying, it was almost like he opened up his black box when he talked about Bret Hart in a certain episode and how negativity is used as a weapon and how that can be such a hindrance on your life. So have you noticed, and what can you kind of say to that as far as noticing how he's become more introspective, not only maybe with you, but with his fans and listeners?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Really good question, Carl. I think part of the answer has a lot to do with what I was just talking with Andrew about, just age and wisdom and knowledge and putting things together and all of that. But I think, Eric's always been a very, overall, his nature is to be a positive person. Even when there's been a few little, speed bumps in the road and you kind of fall into some phases where you're just, you're having a little bit of a rough time or a negative time. We all have those, right? But overall, those are temporary. His overall state of being has always been very positive, and he's a very big thinker. So I think that, you know, when you combine that with the kind of mindset that is open to and willing and hungry to grow and rise to your full potential, then naturally you are going to seek out things that help you do that. And if you keep thinking the same way that you've always thought, and you keep doing things the same way that you've always done, then you just kind of keep repeating what you've always done, and you get the same results, right? It's just your past just keeps showing up over and over, maybe different circumstances, different people, but the vibe of it is the same. And so, you know, you have to be a person, and Eric is such a person as I am, that is really wants to know what more might I learn? What more might I do? What is my potential? Is there a whole bunch of untapped potential there that I haven't even checked into yet? How do you know if you don't start investigating and growing and looking at what you can do? And it's not just what you can do for yourself, but you get to a point in your life. And what I've observed personally as a coach, and even with us, is that as you get a little bit older, you go through seasons of your life, the things that you can contribute beyond yourself and being a little bit of service and helping others beyond yourself, that gets to be more and more of a priority as you get a little older. And so that is a huge growth spurt, because it's kind of a, you know, it's not only just a personal thing, it's a little bit of a spiritual thing, and it's very fulfilling. So you kind of get a taste of that and you want to do more, and you feel like, oh, I can do more of this. That makes me feel good. Other people feel better. Everybody wins. Everyone's growing. So it checks a lot of boxes. And that's just something that I think we all can get to as we go through different seasons of our life. And that's how that's what I've witnessed in Eric too. In his younger years, it's more about kind of you're building, you know, you're building a family, you're building business, you're building and you're kind of acquiring and, you know, seeing what you're made of. But then you get to other points where it's more about some other things beyond yourself. And that's a good place to be.
Well, thank you so much for that answer. I love the seasons of your life. And to put over the podcast, I felt a connection. It was like palpable. I don't know if it's geographical. I'm from Chicago. I have a ton of family in Anoka, Minnesota. I live in North Scottsdale, about 15 minutes away from Cave Creek. And Eric said, don't tell Mrs. B about my office at the Hideaway Bar in Cape Creek. I'm not supposed to say that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Wait, you don't have to tell him that. That's not actually a secret.
it's not anymore. Yeah, okay. Good. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And I'll continue to listen to the podcast for sure.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Carl. That was a fantastic question. Thank you for your support too. Thank you.
Thanks, Carl. Again, if you're not listening to We're Talking Shift, you should be. You'll learn something new about yourself every single time. Up next, we have a question from a peculiar character named iPhone.
Oh.
iPhone, are you there? Do you not know that your name is iPhone? I heard iPhone.
iPhone was there, and then I think we lost iPhone.
I think I realized I'm iPhone. I apologize.
Oh, you are iPhone.
I'm
hello.
Sorry.
Tell us your name. What's your name?
I'm Michael Amend. How are y'all?
Michael.
I'm going to fix that for the next one.
There you go.
Mrs. B, I appreciate you being on here. I just got to be a top guy recently, and it's awesome to –
We lost your audio, Michael.
There it is.
Okay, now we're back.
I'm sorry.
No worries.
I'm just glad I am to see how this is growing and everything. And Eric's podcast was the first I listened to in Conrad's regime of podcast. And so it's good to talk with you today.
Thank you. It's nice to have you here.
I was curious, when Conrad approached Eric about doing a podcast, what was the scope of his Eric's conversation with you, and what did you all discuss about, I mean, really him getting back into the wrestling business?
Well, as far as the podcast goes, I mean, there didn't even need to be a discussion. I mean, that's like, if it's something that Eric wants to do that he thinks is good for everyone all the way around, it's good for him, it's good for us, it's good for the audience. He thinks he can bring value to the audience, you know, which is being done through a podcast, then it's a no-brainer. We don't even need to have a discussion. I don't know what the scope of their conversation was, but the scope of our conversation was, hey, I'm going to do a podcast with Conrad. And my response was, awesome. What's for dinner? That was the scope of our podcast. But all right. So then the part two of your question was, how did our conversation go about him getting back into the wrestling business?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So that is always... that's always a conversation, because he's kind of been in and out a few times. And I always just ask him, is this something you are excited about? That to me is what the decision should be made on for us at this particular time or in recent years in our life. Is this something that you're excited about and you would look forward to getting up to do every day? If the answer is yes, full support, I'm your biggest fan, always have been, you go for it. And I'll do everything that in my power to support that. If the answer is no, cool, pass. And if the answer is not sure, great, think about it. Is there anything you wanna process? Basically, that's in a nutshell how it goes. And then he makes a decision based on that for the most part.
Well, it seems to me y'all make a great team, and his passion comes through in that podcast. I love it every week. I appreciate you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Michael. We're glad you're here. Great question.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Nick Mills joins us from across the pond somewhere. Hello, Nick.
Hello. How are you all doing?
Hi, Nick.
Doing well. How are you?
Thank you very much for doing this, Laurie. Much appreciated.
Sure, my pleasure.
Laurie, I've been working through the backlog of the podcast with Eric, and he said something that I just absolutely fascinated me, that he had said that you had done some modeling for Playboy back in 2005. Mm-hmm. I was wondering how you had got into that and if you had any qualms necessarily about doing that just because of the kind of reputation that Playboy has.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was 2005? I think it was 2004. Not actually positive though, but somewhere in there. And I wouldn't actually call it modeling because it wasn't like an ongoing thing. It was just a one-time shoot. It was literally a contest, and I submitted myself and was chosen as one of the winning contestants among, I think maybe 10 or 12 others. So it was a montage. It was, you know, I wouldn't have thrown my hat in the ring if I didn't think it was something that I found to be fun to do at the time. So I just said, you know what, I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to just see what happens. And that's what happened. I was selected. And it was, like I said, there's never been anything since. And I, you know, there isn't any other magazine in that genre that I would ever consider. But yes, to your point about they have a reputation, but their reputation actually overall is pretty stellar. I felt good about it. And it was a family decision because everyone had veto power. And everyone said, okay, we're okay with that. So go for it. And that's what I did.
Superb. Eric also said that you had gone to the Playboy Mansion as well. What was that like?
No, I have not gone to the Playboy Mansion. Oh. He may have at some point in the past. That's highly possible. But no, there was like a big party, but it was not at the mansion after that shoot. It was at some other venue, but it wasn't at the mansion. So I've never been there.
Did you get to meet Hugh Hefner at any point?
Like super briefly at the event party, after the issue came out, I think it was, there was a big party and, just a very, very brief, and that was it. It's so brief. I don't actually even remember it, you know? So yeah, it was just a fun little thing, but really in the big scheme of things, not a big deal.
No, fair enough. Listen, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
From Play-Doh to Playboy, Mrs. B has done it all. Wonderful.
Lauren.
Thank you. I try. Philip Jackson joins us from work. Hello, Philip.
Hi, Philip.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You're so good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It is an absolute pleasure to meet you, Mrs. B. I'm glad I can talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So this question that I have has been nagging me for years, and I'm very glad that I finally had the opportunity to ask. So in the early 2000s, when Eric had his run with WWE as an on-screen character, as a performer, there were two specific incidents he had, one with Linda McMahon and one with Stephanie McMahon. I'm not sure if you know what I'm referring to, but if you do, what was your reaction when you found out that was happening?
Okay, Philip, your audio is going a little in and out, so I didn't quite catch all that, but what I did catch was Linda and Stephanie. So I am thinking that your question has to do with Eric's involvement with Linda and Stephanie. Do I have that right?
That is correct.
Okay, all right. Well, here's basically the simplest, most direct answer to that. It's showtime. Ta-da!
There you go.
Thank you. My curiosity has been sated forever. Thank you. I can sleep well at night now.
Thank you for the question.
Wonderful. I'm glad Mrs. B can be a good sport because I think I would be a jealous wife, honestly. I'm not sure, but I really think so. Up next, we have Rocco.
Hi, Mrs. B. Hi, Lauren. How are you guys?
Doing well. How are you?
Hi, Rocco.
Let me tell you something. Your husband is like one of my idols.
And mine too.
What's funny is him and I share a birthday, actually.
Really? So you are a Gemini.
Yeah. And what's funny, my girlfriend's also a Gemini. She's June 15th and I'm May 27th.
Wow. Must be crazy in your household. keep all those personalities under one roof.
Well, I've got a very simple question. I'm 27 years old. So maybe you could tell us, how is a 27-year-old Eric? Because I remember a 40-year-old Eric from Nitro. I remember a 50-something-year-old Eric from Raw. And I know a 60-something-year-old Eric. Mm-hmm. But how was a 27-year-old Eric? What was he like? Was he any different from now? Was he the same? You know?
Yes, Eric. Let's see. So at 27, Eric and I had really, he was just about to turn 27 when we met.
Okay.
So, yeah, he was 26 when we met, and then a few months later, however many months went by, he was 27. And so, certainly, there are some things about his personality that are exactly the same, but at 27, 26, 27, I mean, aren't we all a lot different in our 20s? Yeah. as far as, you know, priorities and what our focus is on. But Eric was a ton of, and he still is, but he was a lot of fun. We had so much fun together, and he's, I don't know. I mean, he's all of the things that he is now, except he's a lot wiser. He's more patient. He's got a broader perspective of things. And I mean, that's just life experience, right? I mean, we all hopefully have those things as we get older. But Eric is a very passionate person. He still is very driven and very ambitious. All the things that, you know, make it fun to be doing life with somebody that has a vision of let's go do this and a sense of adventure and a lot of drive and passion and fearlessness. That's exactly it. Those things are still part of his nature now, but the degrees change a little bit. And then there's some other added layers that just come with age and wisdom and experience.
Oh, wow. That was a great answer. And thank you for that. And you know what? My girlfriend, Maria, and I, you guys are our goals. By the way.
That's sweet. Thank you.
We very much look up to you guys.
Well, I appreciate that. And we will do our best to be worth looking up to.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rocco. Really good question. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rocco. Up next, TJ Stevens.
Good evening, Mrs. B.
Hi, TJ.
So I'm 35 years old. My wife and I, we've been together since we were 18. Well, I was 18. We're high school sweethearts. She actually used to tape my wrists and my ankles when I was a football player. Now she's an OB nurse, and we have a 3.5-year-old autistic son named Jack. Okay. And we have a 1.5-year-old daughter named Piper. So the life lesson she's taught me over the years is patience, because I used to have none. And now dealing, you know, with the kids that we have, you have to have it, otherwise you just won't survive. So my question for you is, what life lesson has Eric taught you over the years? And more importantly, what life lesson have you taught Eric over the years?
Wow, so deep. Life lessons. You know, I think the life lesson that I taught Eric is probably better asked to him, because I'm not sure what that one would be. I know there have been some, just like there have been with me. And I would say that patience is probably definitely one of them, because I'm an extremely patient person. And Eric has not always been a very patient person. So I would say, I could hear him laughing in the other room. So I would say, I don't know if that's the main one. I'm sure there's more than one, but I know that that's definitely one. Patience has been something that he has absolutely got a much better handle on over the years than early on. No patience. And you're right. When you have young kids, especially, frankly, if you want to be in an intimate relationship with anybody, you better get your shit together and learn some patience, because otherwise, you know, you're going to mess it up and you're going to lose it, because everybody is going to, you know, every relationship's going to run into some challenging times. And if you don't have enough patience to sit down and work through it, then, you know, you'll end up, basically destroying all of your relationships. So then add kids into the mix, and they deserve your patience. They deserve you to be very patiently, you know, nurturing them through their little lives. And that takes a massive amount of patience, as I'm sure you have learned, TJ. What have I learned, life lesson from Eric? I think a lot of them, again, but two big ones are, when I met Eric, I had never before met anyone in my life that thought as big. Eric is a very big, big thinker. He does not think small, and he doesn't play small. Everything's big. We could sit and talk about any kind of an idea, or, oh, let's do this. Here's an initiative. Here's an idea. And within a very short amount of time, Eric has taken that and turned it into this. He's a very big thinker. And that was new for me. I had a mother that was very positive thinking, and I learned about being a positive person, but that's different than big. So that is definitely a life lesson that I've learned from him. And along with that, in order to think big, comes a sense of fearlessness. You have to be pretty fearless if you're going to do anything about the big thoughts that you have. because it's risky. And so I would say those two things are two of the biggest life lessons that I have learned that have been extremely valuable to me from that man.
I think our patience was tried early on, because 10 months after we started dating, I left for the military. So we tried it pretty quick. And I mean, we're still together all these years later. So thank you for answering my question, and I appreciate you doing this for us.
Well done. Thank you so much, TJ. Appreciate it.
Lori, Micmac wants to know, how bad can Eric be at handyman work? He has told us you won't even let him touch a screwdriver. Is this true?
No. God, I start to get the heebie-jeebies if I see him going for my toolbox. You guys, we all have our skill sets, right? We all are really good at some things. And then there's just some things that, you know, we should just leave to somebody else. And yeah, handyman work? No. If I can't fix it, I hire somebody. So the tools are mine. And I try to keep track of them, because some people have a tendency to use them and then leave them and not put them back. And I'm kind of anal about where my shit is. I like everything in its place. So I try to keep him out of the tools. Now and then he sneaks in there thinking he's going to do something on his own. And No. Our nephew was here a couple weeks ago. He spent a little time with us. He's 19. And that's when the new Rec-Tec grill arrived. Thank God our nephew was here. And the two of them, Eric assisted, let me just say that. He's like the nephew was like scalpel, and Eric would be like, here you go. Right? So, you know, mop his forehead. Yeah. No. Eric's brilliant at a lot of awesome things that I wouldn't even know what to do about. But handyman work? No, that's my area.
Mrs. B, we have that in common. My husband is not allowed near the toolbox.
Yeah.
So you're in good company, I guess. Yeah. Jared Cahill has a question for you next.
Hi, Jared.
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
Hi, Jared.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. My question is also in regards to your Playboy shoot. How did Garrett react, and how did he find out?
Well, since, and I mentioned a little bit about this earlier, since at that time, Garrett and our daughter, Montana, were about high school age. So it was highly unlikely that this was going to get snuck by them at that age, right? So Eric and I, when we talked about it and I decided that I wanted to do it, we said, well, then let's talk to Garrett and Montana and see how they feel about it. And if they, again, they had veto power. If either one of them said, oh no, I can't deal with that, I don't want, no, I would have said, all right, no worries, I'll pass. But so they knew ahead of time. They had the right to say, no, Mom. And they said, no, okay, go for it, Mom. It's all good. So that way, when it came out, if any of their friends did become aware of it, they weren't caught off guard. And they didn't really, it's a little bit of an awkward situation. So they never came to me and said anything like about that was awkward or negative. I imagine there might have been a few moments that were a little awkward, and they just handled it. And you know, everything's hot for 15 minutes and then everybody forgets about it. It's no big deal. And so they knew, if they were prepared, and nobody needed therapy after that. Everyone's good.
And are the rumors with DDP and Kimberly Page, are those true with you and Bischoff as well, you and Eric?
I don't know why or what that was all about, but that's all bullshit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No. That's trash.
Well, no. Thank you.
Thanks, Jared. Clearly, Mrs. B, none of these guys have forgotten about the Playboy shoot. It keeps coming up in conversation. I'm gonna circle back around to Lewis. Lewis had another question.
Yes, I actually wrote it down because I also like get lost in my thoughts and then forget what I was going to ask. So here's a lighthearted question, but what do you sometimes overhear Eric constantly ranting about Dave Meltzer in the other room when you're in the other room? So what are your reactions to that if you do hear it? And have you ever met Dave Meltzer yourself? And that's all I had. Thank you so much for circling back.
Thank you, Lewis. I have never met Dave. I wouldn't know him if he showed up at my front door right now. I don't even know what he looks like. It's, you know, I don't, yeah, I hear a lot of that. Not a lot, but I mean, over the years, of course, I've heard it frequently. And, you know, it's really not something I concern myself about because I don't read what Dave writes. I don't know who he is. I don't read. I've never written a single word that he's written. I've never read a single word that he's written. And so it's a world that I don't really need to bother myself about. I have full 100% trust that Eric knows exactly what he's doing and why he's doing it, because he excels in this world. And I leave that to him, and it's not something I'm even that curious about. So whatever.
But when you're in the other room, and not to extend this, but when you're in the other room and you overhear it, I definitely think that you would be the type of person where you don't concern yourself. But since you overhear him yelling, at least he sounds like he's yelling on the podcast. What do you do to tune it out? Or do you not tune it out and just laugh?
She brings more coffee. Don't you listen?
Yeah, I was like, oh, my baby's on fire. I'm going to get him some caffeine. Make sure
you get him some more.
And then the flip side of that, though, in all seriousness, is I don't hear that much of it because I'm not, you know, he's in one area doing his thing. I'm in another doing mine. I'm not hearing it because I'm busy. I'm doing my own thing. So, yeah, it's if I do catch a little hit now and then, I just chuckle and go, you know, he's having fun. He's doing what he does.
And get him more coffee. But thank you so much in all seriousness.
Right, right. I am free. I'm running for coffee.
Excellent. Bharat had another question for you.
Hey again, Mrs. B, and thanks, Lauren. This is a slightly serious question. Like, we have heard Eric talk a lot about the tough days you guys had. I think it was the end of the 80s where, like, the bills were piling up and, like, you know, it was getting tough. So you, I guess, are the most positive couple I've ever come across. So did that actually test your, like, collective positivity? Like, did it push you to the edge at any point?
Well, absolutely tough, for sure. Like, if I interpret what you mean by push us to the edge, I'm not sure exactly what you mean.
I mean, just like, you know, kind of test your positivity, like, yeah.
That's a good question. I would say less for Eric, because he just was always like, oh, we'll figure it out. We'll just figure it out. We'll do the next thing and we'll figure it out. And there was a period of time in there where I'm 6 years younger than Eric. So I was still kind of a little stressed about it. Definitely. It took me some time and some personal growth to learn how to manage that in a way that wasn't stressful and taxing me and making me negative. But Eric was very positive about that, which obviously, you know, gave me some sense of security and like, okay, there's hope. We'll pull out of this. But you know, we were young and our kids were young and yeah, you know, bills are piling up and you're just trying to get through that phase in your life and get your feet under you. And so it was stressful. And so I think I was probably a little bit more stressed for those early years when it came to that kind of thing than Eric, because he just always was like, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. And I would be like, but this bill. And he's like, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. I was like, at some point you just go, all right, I guess we're going to figure it out. And and you realize, well, we're still alive. The kids are healthy. We're still together. I guess we're figuring it out. You just got to look at reality. Reality is, maybe we got some bills, but we're figuring it out. And if you kind of just shift your mindset, which took me a little while to get a handle on that. And I did. And he was a big part of that because he had such a different attitude about it.
Sorry, just a quick follow-up on that. Like, did you think deep inside that wrestling was the answer to, like, get out of that situation? Like, we've heard you being very supportive throughout his life, but did you think that wrestling maybe can bring us up?
When that opportunity landed, you know, with him, yes, I knew. You know, you just felt it. You just felt a whole shift. And it was absolutely spot on. I mean, I had no idea, neither one of us had any idea that when the opportunity for him to become involved in the wrestling business happened, we didn't know, oh, guess what? Now we're really going, this is what's gonna happen. We didn't know how it was gonna unfold, but that sense of things have shifted for the better, and this is definitely the vehicle that is going to be moving us into the next phase of our lives, that we just felt and we knew exactly how it was going to unfold. Not sure, but we knew it was, and we knew it was unfolding in that direction.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening, and thank you again for doing this.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad you're here.
That's going to do it for us tonight, folks. Thank you all for joining us. Remember to follow Lori B. Life Coach on Twitter. Check out the We're Talking Shift podcast. And we'll catch you again soon here at adfreeshows.com. Have a good night. Thank you, Mrs. B.
Thank you, Lori.
Bye, Lauren. Thanks so much. Mrs. B.